tarmac strandings, denied boarding compensation, canceled flights. It's time for a preliminary summer report card on the airlines. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today, it's been a while, is Kate Hanai, who founded a little group called the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. These days, it's just easier to call them FlyersRights.org. Kate, thanks for taking a few minutes out for our listeners today.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul. Good to be back.
Well, last time we talked, we were talking about the summer travel season coming up and a new tactic by the airlines to weasel away around paying denied boarding compensation. And we have since been through essentially the bulk of the summer travel season. Coming up in a few days, it'll be Labor Day. What else has been happening this summer?
Well, it's just been horrible for people. Our hotline has had more calls this summer than we did last summer, which I didn't think was possible. And they are pretty evenly divided between people being bumped and not receiving the denied boarding compensation or being stuck on the tarmac. And we have many, many more actual tarmac strandings than we did last year, although we don't have the eight-hour strandings. We have a lot of six-hour strandings and five-hour strandings. We just don't have the eight, but many, many more. So really, things haven't improved. They've gotten worse.
Well, now we're going to be past the peak of the thunderstorm season here in a little while. We're also going to be seeing some of the airlines making intentional cuts in capacity immediately after Labor Day in an attempt to, I guess, drive up demand for the remaining seats and be able to raise rates to match fuel costs. Do you expect this to have any effect on the calls to your hotline?
I do, and here's why. I'm anticipating that there will be more airlines going out of business. This has been widely talked about, although I don't know who they are specifically in terms of the legacy carriers, but there seems to be a general agreement around that. Many of the calls that we've already gotten this year have been about people who have purchased tickets on airlines that have gone bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Or we've also seen a huge increase in calls from people who have not had their flight yet. They've purchased tickets for November or December, and they purchased them a couple months ago, and they're being informed that that flight has been taken out of service entirely.
Right.
And canceled. And so I anticipate, as has been the case with the hotline, that we will see a shift in the types of calls that we get, although I still expect to receive calls for the denied boarding, because every time they tighten capacity, they continue to oversell the flights. And then people not getting the denied boarding compensation, I also expect, with all of the unbundling that's been going on, that we are going to get many, many more calls, and we've already seen an increase in people who, they buy a ticket, they're not assigned a seat. So my hint is always get a seat assignment. Don't buy a ticket on an airline where you don't have a seat assignment. And they go to curbside. They check their bags, which they've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're told, but go to the gate. You'll get your seat assignment. And then they don't get a seat, but their bags are gone.
Well,
so
now,
we seem to see a huge increase in that happening as well.
I was of the impression that they would not let an airliner take off if there were bags on board without matching passengers.
That's my impression. I thought that was a law broken. And I don't know if you recall this, but it happened in our event. It happened when we were stranded. They sent our baggage ahead to Mobile without us.
And so what this means is that if you really did want to do something on aboard a plane, all you'd have to do would be
buy a ticket that you don't have an assigned seat for,
And check in late and make sure it's on a flight that's likely to be overbooked. And then your bag could go on without you.
You got it. That's absolutely correct. And I've brought it up before, and it's as if I'm speaking to deaf ears, and people aren't getting the possible crisis that's there. And if we do end up in any kind of a skirmish in Georgia or Iran, one of my good friends, Paul Hudson, said, don't fly. You know, his daughter died in Pan Am 103 when the bomb went off in the bag, and he said, if we enter another war or if we get into another war with another country, don't fly. It won't be safe.
Well, it's interesting that that's being allowed to slip by.
Yes.
Well,
it has been over and over again, and I don't understand how the airlines can get around that law.
Well, tell us on the subject of the task force, the DOT task force of which you were named a member, what's been going on with that over the summer?
Yes, I'm a member of the task force. I'm also one of the tri-chairs of the task force. So Jim Kreitz from Dallas-Fort Worth Airport is the airport chair. I'm the passenger rights chair person, and Basil Barima from the ATA is the third chair, or the third wheel, as I like to say. basically what's happening is that the airlines are doing anything they can to avoid anything enforceable showing up in these plans that we're creating. The airports are much more willing to do something that's enforceable and to participate in the plans, and they've been willing to step forward and do whatever they can to help, and creating plans and diversion strategies and working with Communication Border Patrol and all of those things to make sure that that there's more collaboration and cooperation between the airlines and the airports. But the airlines are simply flat unwilling to do anything for the passengers that's meaningful.
Well, now, you told me something fascinating just before we started this conversation for the record, and that was regarding the presidential election. I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. My guest is Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. I'm Paul Flack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. We're talking about the progress made toward an airline passenger's Bill of Rights, which even many of us who don't care for the concept of government regulation are starting to wonder if maybe this isn't the only way to get this done. Kate, you were mentioning before we started this conversation officially that there is cause for hope on this issue if the Democrats reach office. Tell us how you came to conclude that.
Yes. Well, you know, oddly enough, I was not checking very closely earlier this year to see who our co-sponsors were on the Senate side. When Hillary Clinton became a co-sponsor, about 20 days later, Barack Obama became a co-sponsor of our legislation, but I wasn't aware of it for a couple months. And so that's very exciting. We have his support. And then during the primaries, the presidential primaries, when Joseph Biden was running in November of last year, he put out a press release that specifically called for an airline passenger's Bill of Rights. And not only that, it was a very thorough bill. He outlined what he would have in the bill, and he was just very, very clear about what it would look like. It was a press release put out from Des Moines, Iowa, and he said he would require air carriers to provide food, water, and restroom facilities to passengers during delays, or give them the option to deplane. Require carriers to publish customer service policies and post information about chronically delayed flights. Expand inspections of health and safety conditions on planes. And urge the Air Traffic Controllers Union and the FAA to return to negotiations to provide incentives for controllers to postpone retirement and keep the U.S. system moving. And then there's a lot of things on the list, but one of the things that I was most excited about was create an Aviation Consumer Protection Commission and expand DOT investigative authority into consumer complaints regarding cancellations, overbooking, lost baggage, and overcharges.
You know,
and establish a live National Travelers Complaint Hotline.
Or maybe just buy yours off you.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, we could make a donation as long as it was live.
Well, now I have to back up a minute, and you talk about increased scrutiny of health and safety conditions on aircraft. It just dawned on me, is there any inspection of that now? I know that there have been consumer reporters at TV stations who I frankly tend to take with a grain of salt because I think they go for what makes great video or sensational stuff. But they have gone to ride on airlines and brought back things like samples of the ice cubes or the drinking water, and found just horrendous stuff floating around in those. Is there anything analogous to a Department of Health, like you would see at a restaurant, that checks airliners?
Well, the FAA is supposed to inspect for the equipment inside the airlines, like the defibrillators and the oxygen tanks, to make sure that they are operational and in good working order. However, we all know from news accounts of the last year that there have been several incidences on aircraft where the defibrillator did not work and someone had a heart attack, and or the oxygen canisters that they brought up to give someone oxygen were empty. So these inspections have not been happening in the same manner that the FAA has not been inspecting the hull of the aircraft. They have not been inspecting, doing their on-site inspections that they were required to do. Also, you know, some of the entities that check for different health and safety issues are different government bodies, like the EPA testing the water on aircraft and finding coliform.
Right.
And it's almost as if they're unrelated. And so if there were one body that could pull it all together and gather all that information and then deal with these, what I would consider to be very, very unsafe situations that we are creating for people in aircraft, it would be a much better setup than the way it is now.
Well, I think one of the frustrations many air travelers have now is just knowing that there are rules in place that are being just totally ignored.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
and fines that are imposed that are forgiven. Like you hear about the American Airlines fine, I'm completely cynical about the idea of the FAA fining them, and then that historically over the last 8 years they've forgiven 75% of all the fines that have been imposed against the airlines.
Well, I think that, you know, the other side of this is that there are no actual definitions of what, for example, a lengthy delay is if you're
right.
stuck in a tarmac. And I think that's what you're working on. At this point, would you settle for just having some of these definitions in place so we could actually measure the problem and bring it to light?
Yes. It would be an improvement. You know, we did successfully get, although it's going into effect much later than it should have, we did successfully cause the DOT to do a rulemaking around diverted and canceled flights for time on the tarmac. And those will begin to be counted by the government October 2nd of this year. Now, of course, that's after, you know, a number of airlines have gone under and capacity is being cut so much that we don't know how that's going to impact canceled and diverted flights. But diversions are up right now significantly because of the underfueling of the jets.
Right.
Diversions are up, I think, 25% over last year, which is a pretty significant increase. And so if that continues, at least we'll have those stats measured. But, yes, we need a definition of what is a lengthy delay. The Inspector General said in his testimony he did not believe that passengers were going to think that they should be held on an aircraft different amounts of time depending on the carrier.
Right.
We all sort of have the same thresholds.
Yes, yes. Or, well, maybe the delay would vary based on whether you're in business class or not. I don't know. But
well, and that was brought up yesterday at the task force, that, you know, when the pilot comes out to take the temperature of the aircraft and see how everyone's doing, who are the first people he sees?
Right.
First class. And then business class. Well, they're going to be doing a lot better than those of us that are sitting in steerage.
Right.
You know?
In the corral. Yeah.
In the corral, because we're the ones that aren't being given any food or water. If you're in first class or business class, they generally have some extra food. They have some snacks. They have served maybe a meal if you've been in flight, and there are things left over. There's plenty of liquor, of course, for those people as well, and beverages, but not for the people in coach. And most of the people in the aircraft are in coach.
Right, right. Well, Kate, I almost don't know where to end these things because there's so much going on in your efforts. I guess we'll wish you continued success in at least bringing this to the attention of people beyond the core who are working on it, because frankly, I think if airline passengers really understood what they could be walking into, they would demand action before they bought tickets.
Oh, I agree with you. And a lot of the calls that we get are from people who say, what are my rights? Didn't that Bill of Rights pass? You know, they're confused and they're mm-hmm. wondering why this is still going on.
Like, how could this still be an issue?
How could it still be an issue? It's absurd, right?
Right.
This is the United States of America. Prisoners of war, per the Geneva Convention, have more rights than an airline passenger once the door to the aircraft shuts.
I think you've just summed it up in a great place to stop. Kate, thanks very much for bringing us up to date. Go get them, and we'll talk to you.
You are so welcome, and don't forget flyersrights.org.
That's right.
And 877-FLYER-6.
All right.
For a good time.
Yes. And we will, or if you're having a bad time now.
Yes, if you're having a bad time, call us.
All right, Kate, thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Paul.
My guest has been Kate Hanai, who is the founder of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.